I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story. Today we're talking about what it's like to live through a tsunami, one of those giant waves that caused so much of the destruction in the recent earthquake in Japan. My guest, Larry Whitlow, was kayaking off the coast of Thailand 6 years ago when he was nearly killed in the tsunami waves caused by the earthquake off the coast of Indonesia. He survived the rush of water from the first wave and decided it was time to head home.
And I pushed off into the water, and as I paddled my way through the first huge whirlpool, I realized I wasn't so nervous anymore, and I had a lot of confidence in my ability to control my kayak and to paddle it. And you don't get very many opportunities to play in giant whirlpools, and so
I'd have been terrified to be on the water at that time for fear of being pulled into one of these whirlpools.
Well, they don't actually go down.
They're just spinning huge plates of water.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So I didn't race for safety. I just sort of played and poked my way along. And as I came around the corner to the entry to this bay, I realized that I wasn't making very much progress. But I wasn't worried because I'm a strong kayaker and I was able to paddle into this small bay against this huge current. But it wasn't a current. What was happening is the bay was emptying. And I didn't realize that. And I'd got to more or less the center of this bay when people that knew me were up on the cliffs and were yelling. And I could see on the shore as well that people were running left and right, and there was a lot of chaos and a lot of garbage up on the beach, and things weren't normal. And of course, I wasn't normal, and I wasn't thinking straight. And people were yelling at me from the tops of the cliffs, and they were yelling at me, "Wave." And so I waved to them as kind of a surreal moment, because I just waved as they were yelling, "Wave." And then someone yelled, "Big wave." And I looked over my shoulder and I could see the big wave coming. And I didn't have much time to do anything except just instinctively turn my kayak 180 degrees and point my bow straight at this onrushing wall of water.
You were going to paddle towards it?
Yeah. If I had run from it, I'd have been killed. I'd have been picked up by the wave and carried on to land at high speed.
But paddling into it, if it's coming with the same kind of force that the last one, all right.
Right. So a surfer, when he wants to catch a wave, has to paddle with it. He wants to approximately match the speed of the incoming wave.
Right.
And then the wave can pick him up, and he travels with the wave. So if you want to not surf, it's very important that you never match the speed of the incoming wave. It's always important that you paddle against it.
How tall was the wave from your perspective on the water?
From my perspective, it was about 14 feet.
Just like the last one you'd seen, only larger.
About four and a half meters. I couldn't see, of course, I couldn't see over it.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was behind it. And if it were a Hawaiian wave, I would have emerged from the other side. Right, I would have passed through it, but there was nowhere to go through it. I think it was just an avalanche.
Did you have a good head of steam by the time you and the wave went?
No, and the other thing is that I was being sucked into it. Right, the big waves often have an undertow; they pull you into it from below.
Right.
So I hit it at some velocity, and I immediately was underwater. The boat, me, and everything, and I have no real conscious awareness of what I did. I just exited the boat and held my breath.
I was going to say, did you have a good lung full of air at this point?
I'm sure I must have. But I did do a good thing. I didn't try to swim. I just curled up to a ball, protected my head. And if you've ever been swimming in a waterfall, you'll appreciate the fact that in waterfalls, the water is just jamming with little bubbles. And if you open your eyes, all you see are little bubbles, and every little bubble reflects the sunlight coming through. So you can't really tell which way is up based on the light, because light's coming from all directions. It's coming from every bubble that there is. And of course, with all the turmoil, the bubbles themselves aren't moving up. They're just moving with the water in a huge chaos. And so I didn't even open my eyes. I knew what was there, and I knew I couldn't swim, so I just waited. And waited and waited and waited.
And you had no idea how far below the surface you were or which way you were facing or any of that?
None. Just protected my head. And then eventually I could feel, after the bubbles come out of solution, or they rise to the surface, then the water becomes fully dense and you'll float. And so after the bubbles rose to the surface, so did I. And before long, I could touch the bottom occasionally. And every time I touched the bottom, I took a leap to the right, and then took a leap to the right, and took a leap to the right, which is to put myself between me and between the kayak and the return to the ocean, because all this water that's come onto land is going to turn around and go back. And when it does, I want to catch my kayak and go back out to sea with it. I don't want to lose it. And I was in about thigh deep water when suddenly, I don't know if it's suddenly, but just all that ocean water went back to the ocean, and my boat came with it, and I was able to catch it, and I was able to hold it. And I just stood there holding my boat for, I don't know, for a long time, and like standing in a river mouth, like standing in the Nile, and all the water that had climbed onto land was going back to the ocean, and I just held my boat. And when the water was quite shallow, below my knee, somebody ran down off the cliffs and grabbed the back of the boat, and we were able to empty it of water, and we started to scurry our way up the cliffside.
And of course, you would have no way of knowing at this point, Larry, if there wasn't another, even larger wave coming in. Right?
No. And again, I wasn't thinking about that. It was just in the moment. And when we got to the top of the cliffs, he asked me if I had got everything. And it was just in that moment that I realized that in my right hand, I had my kayak paddle. I'd never let go of my paddle all the time I was underwater, all the time I was bobbing in the water and being carried towards shore. I'd never let go of my kayak paddle, a 7-foot long thing. And it was shortly after this that I'd met there was a geologist, and he'd said it was a tsunami. And that's right. And then sitting up high over the next few hours, for the rest of the day really, we watched the water level go up and down, like the ocean is breathing, up and down. I mean, outrageously high to outrageously low. The second day after the tsunami, I paddled over to where my wife and agreed to meet me. And as I went on this trip, I went back to that sandy cleft and then that higher cleft where the drift tree was, and it wasn't there at all. It was as though it had never been there. It was just totally carried off by the big wave. And that's when I realized, of course, that had that first wave been any larger, I'd have been crushed between that big drift tree and the cliffs. It's just a sequence of good fortune, really.
Must have been a relief, though, to finally see Patty.
It was. She saw me coming and just walked with all of her clothes on. Just walked out into the ocean until she was to come and meet me. Until she was up to her chest in the water, and she just gave me a hug, and I just sort of fell out of the boat right there and into her arms, and we dragged the boat onto land and put it up.
Larry Whitlow joined me from the CBC studios in Saskatoon, Canada.